So today is Mother's Day, and we're honoring mothers today. And we celebrate this holiday because of a woman named Anna M. Jarvis, who wanted to have a special holiday set aside, a national observance, because she loved her mom so much. And she wanted to honor her. She wanted to recognize her. And so it was President Woodrow Wilson who established this day on May 9th, 1914. And ever since then, I believe, what are we in? The second Sunday of May? Second Sunday of May, we have Mother's Day. And so moms have so many responsibilities. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And you know, you think when your children are grown and they move out of the house, then you think that, oh, it's going to be a little bit easier. But it's just the same. I think responsibilities increase as they add grandchildren and they come back home, and you're mom forever. Amen? Amen. And so this morning, I just wanted to share a little story about this mom had worked all day. And at the end of the day, her and her husband, they sit down to watch a TV program. And so they were watching TV, and this is how the story goes. Mom and Dad were watching TV when Mom said, "You know, I'm tired, and it's getting late, and I think I'll go to bed." And so she went to the kitchen to make sandwiches for next day's lunches. She rinsed out the popcorn bowls because they were watching TV eating popcorn. Anybody ever do that? She took the meat out of the freezer for supper the following evening, and she checked the cereal boxes to make sure that they had enough in them. She filled the sugar container. She put the spoons and the bowls on the table, and she got the coffee pot all ready to start brewing the next morning. Then she put some wet clothes in the dryer. Then she put a load of clothes into the washer. She ironed a shirt, and she secured or put back on a loose button. She picked up some game pieces that were left on the table, and she put the phone back on the charger to charge and the phone book away. She watered the plants, and she emptied a wastebasket and hung up a towel to dry. Now, this is all on her way to bed. She yawned, and she stretched, and she headed for the bedroom. And she stopped by the desk, and she wrote a note to the teacher, counted out some cash for the field trip, pulled a textbook out from hiding under the chair. She signed a birthday card for a friend. She addressed and stamped the envelope and wrote a quick note for the grocery store. And then she put both those things close to her purse. Is that what you do? I do that a lot, put things close to my purse. Then she washed her face. Finally, she made it to the bathroom. She washed her face with cleanser. And she put on a night solution, you know, to fight that aging of her skin. Brushed her teeth and flossed and filed her nails. And then Dad called out to her. And he said, "I thought you were going to bed." And she said, "I'm on my way." So she put some water into the dog's dish, put the cat outside. Then she made sure the doors were all locked. She looked in on each one of the kids and turned off their bedside lamps and tucked them in and kissed them on the forehead. She hung up a shirt. She threw some dirty socks into the hamper. She had a brief conversation with one that was still out of bed. And so finally she made it in the bedroom. She set the alarm. She laid out her clothes for the next day. She straightened up the shoe rack. She added three things to her most important things to do list for tomorrow. She said her prayers. She visualized all of the accomplishments that she had completed that day, and thought about some goals for tomorrow. And about that time, Dad was done watching the TV, and he announced to no one in particular, "I'm going to bed." And he did so without a second thought. All the things that moms have to do. And can you identify with this? Do you do a few things on your way to bed? Or you get in bed and you remember something else that you have to do, and you jump back up out of bed and you get it done. So moms have a lot of things to balance, all in a day's work. Amen. So as we think about Mother's Day, we're just reminded of how important mothers are in our world today. Being a mom is more than giving birth. It's a lifetime commitment to love, to nurture, to correct, to train, and to build character into our children's life. It's this balancing act of never-ending responsibilities, which often leaves little time for ourselves, but for some reason, that really doesn't seem to matter. When you see your children taken care of, your husband taken care of, the house clean, isn't that a wonderful thing? Even if you knocked yourself out to get that done, if you get a chance to sit down in your lazy girl chair and kick up your feet and have a cup of coffee, you can just look around and just be satisfied in your soul for all that you accomplished that day. And that goes for every person sitting in this place. I know there are women here that have not become mothers, but your job assignment is very much the same as taking care of your household. Is that right? And so when we look at all these things that we have to do, it's a balancing act. And I once read a quote. I'm just going to share it with you. It says, don't ever make the mistake of asking a woman, do you work or stay at home? Okay, the only thing worse you can ask is when she is due if you're not 100% sure she is expecting. Life is full of activities, great possibilities, amazing celebrations, and disappointments. There are so many different roads, so many twists and turns as you walk through life. Often things don't turn out the way you thought they would. And you said to God, this is not what I planned, God. But we find out this is what God has planned for us. And so we're the ones that get to adjust, right? It doesn't matter how much you scream and cry and you can throw a fit, but that's not going to change the situation. The best thing to do is to yield to God and say, okay, Lord, this doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like. But I'm going to trust you, Lord, to see me through this. Because obviously I had all these plans in my mind that were not your plan. And so life is just so full of so many different situations. And for those of us that are moms, as we walk through life, this is how we teach our children. We live an example to our children of how to handle different situations. They're watching us. And whether you're a mom, a dad, or not a mom or a dad, children are watching you. People are watching your life as an example. And when they see you run up against situations, they're watching to see how you handle those things. And it's such a great testimony to people as they see your life. Our life, we're living epistles. You know, in the Old Covenant, the law of the Lord was written upon stone tablets. Right? And that was the law. But in the new covenant, God wrote his law upon the tables of our hearts. And so as God's word is written upon the tables of our heart, our very life becomes a living testimony, a living epistle is what the scripture says of God. Because it's written right here. That's the New Testament covenant. It's written right here. You have it written right here. When you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, it's written right here. As a matter of fact, it was written right there before you invited him into your life. You just couldn't see it because your heart was stone. Have you ever heard the scripture? Hearts of stone. God takes a heart of stone and he turns it into a heart of flesh. And all of a sudden, you're born again and you're alive in Jesus Christ. And you begin to have an understanding of how much He loves you and His will for your life and how important it is to surrender to Him and say, yes, Lord. As members of River of Life, as friends and guests of River of Life, our two words around here is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. Sometimes things don't turn out the way we thought they would, but we're still going to say, yes, Lord. Sometimes we're disappointed. Sometimes we're really, really sad about things that happen, but we're still going to say, yes, Lord. As we go through life, nothing changes the destiny and the call that is upon our life that comes from God. His purpose never changes because of your situation. So there are different roads and there are different paths to follow. But by our example and our instruction, we teach children and they learn how to make choices. And so we don't stop doing that just because we know there's a possibility that they're not going to make a good choice. Amen? Amen. So there are valuable lessons to be learned by a child, and mothers are the ones who love them through the lesson. You know, our love is so much like Jesus' love. God never gives up on us. And moms rarely give up, and grandmas, on their children and their grandchildren. There's something on the inside of us that just won't stop. And that's the way it is with spiritual moms, spiritual dads. They see God's kids make mistakes, God's children sin against God, but they won't give up. Won't give up praying. Won't give up reaching out. Won't give up on you. Aren't you glad somebody didn't give up on you? If you were, you would not be here today if somebody gave up on you. God always has someone in your life to give you hope. And He'll connect you by divine connection. We have to be aware of what God is doing. We don't know everything. Tell your neighbor, you don't know everything. People will sit back and judge and they'll say, well, they should do this and they should do that. You don't know. Only God knows, right? It reminds me of the person who's never had children. Do you remember? Did you ever say things like that? If that was my child before you had children, then after you walk through life a little bit, it's like, I repent. I repent. Oh, I read a poem. It's called Somebody Said. Somebody said it takes 6 weeks to get back to normal after you had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said, you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a 3-year-old shopping. Somebody said, if you're a good mother, your child will turn out good. Somebody thinks. Somebody thinks children come with a guarantee. Somebody said that you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody never helped a fourth grader with their math. Somebody said that you cannot love the fifth child as much as you love the first one. Somebody doesn't have more than one child. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren. Somebody said your mother knows that you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Well, somebody is not a mother. So if your mom's close to you, tell her I love you. Let's read Proverbs 31. This is where we're taking our scripture text today. We are getting there. And we're going to read verses 10 through 31. And this is the passage of the virtuous woman. And it's in your, actually it's in your river update. You've got it in your bulletin this morning. So whether it's on the PowerPoint or you're looking on your page, it's right there. We're starting with verse 10, and let's all read the Word of God together. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So we're going to take the acrostic from Mother and just take a look at this passage for some things that moms do. And women and men do these things also. But today's Mother's Day. Tell someone it's Mother's Day. So M is for manager. Did you notice in this passage how she manages her household? So she's able to train and direct and educate and prepare for her family's life, for her child's life. She's a mender. Did you notice she was able to fix things? We probably don't do as much mending in our society as we used to do. We used to mend socks. We used to keep our clothes as long as we could. In our culture today, that's usually not the case. You just throw it away and buy something new. Is that true? All right, she's a mender. She can fix things. And you know what? Moms even know how to help fix a broken heart. When you're feeling down, you're not feeling good, you just want to talk to your mom. She's a mentor. She's a teacher. She's a coach. She's an advisor. All rolled into one. Proverbs 31:26 said, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. O is for organizer. You know, we used to just organize ourselves. And then when you start adding people to your life, you've got a whole lot more to organize, don't you, Sean? You start adding more people into your household. It's like, you know, there's a whole lot to organize. Yes? I have this huge dining room table. And I really should take all the leaves out and make it small because I can just like start putting things on the table. And eventually I'm going to put them away. You know? Does anybody else do that? Because I think I'll get to it later. I have to tell myself, John Maxwell says, do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Otherwise, that whole table will get full. And then someone will call me and tell me they're coming over and I got to hurry up and put it all away. Oh, is organizer. Proverbs 31:27 says she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. We all know that once you move out of the house and you take on adult responsibilities, you don't have the free time you used to have. Sometimes that's shocking. You didn't realize how much work your mom did. Did anybody else have that realization when they moved out? I mean, I helped my mom. I thought, you know, I helped her in the kitchen. I helped clean the house. Yeah, Leah's waving her hand. You know, you get out on your own and you're like, wow, mom did a whole lot of stuff. No wonder she didn't get much sleep. Organizer. Opportunist. She seizes the moment. She sees a window of opportunity and she helps to keep her children's eye on their goals. Children are easily distracted. We have to remind them, gently nudge them along. And even as adults, we're God's kids, right? We have to be reminded. We have to be nudged along and reminded of our goals. Proverbs 31:18 says, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. In other words, I think if we put that into modern terms, she watches for bargains. We have any bargain shoppers here? She watches for bargains. Sometimes she even stays up late looking on Pinterest to see how she can repurpose things. That's true? Okay, we're to the letter T. T's for trustworthy. Her child will know she can be trusted to keep her word. Everyone here, every man, woman, and child, we should be people of our word. Our Heavenly Father keeps His word. Amen? And so that should be a characteristic that if we tell someone we're going to do something, they can count on us to do it. Proverbs 31:11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. In other words, she enriches his life. She enriches her husband's life, and she enriches the life of others. And this should be a commonality of all of us, that we add value to people's lives. You know, you'll meet people who are takers and givers. There are people who will take and take and take from you. But we've got to recognize those that God has put in our life that's going to give to us and honestly get the takers out of our lives. They deplete our supply. Have you ever been around someone and then you feel depleted after you get out of their presence? You know, we need to be people who add value, who support one another, who encourage one another to be a real friend. That's a spiritual friend. A spiritual friend is going to add to you. They're going to get behind you and support the heart of God and the purpose that He's given you in your life. They're not going to pull you off track or try to get you to do something you know you're not supposed to do. So we should all be those that are adding value, not just moms. But mom's also a teacher. She'll give a child a task, but she will show them how to do it. You know, you can't expect a child just to know how to do it. And so sometimes it takes a while to teach a child to make their bed. Right? fold the clothes, and actually get them put in the drawer. Not just fold them and leave them in that spot. Yeah. Right. This is right down where we live, right? Moms get right in our business, right where we live. And she works on us, right? So she's a teacher. And she's a taxi driver. I remember telling my mom one day, I said, Mom, I just wanted to have a baby. You know, I just wanted to hold a baby. I had no idea I was going to be a judge, a referee, a teacher, a taxi cab driver. I had no idea all these, yeah, and cleaning up after them all the time. Had no idea how much work that was. I just wanted to hold a baby. And I told my mom, I said, I think God tricked me. Because if we really knew everything that was involved, we'd go, no thank you. So H, we're to the letter H is for helper. She's there in time of need to help. She knows when to hold on to a child and hold on to the situation, and she knows when to let go. She helps her child strive for excellence in every area of their life. She's a helper. Proverbs 31:20 says she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. All of us should be compassionate. We don't know how people ended up in the situation they're in, but we should be compassionate to reach out to people. She's a healer. She stands with her child through the rough places and wrong choices, and she helps them begin again. And isn't that what God does for us? He does that for us. She'll kiss the wound, and that's better than any medicine a doctor can give. E is for example. E, she sets the example in her home. She knows there are little eyes watching her. Setting an example in the home. It was interesting when we were having premarital counseling, one of the elders shared with us. He said, Leonard is the head of the household, but you are the neck, and you can turn that head any way you want to. And when you think about that, ladies, that is a huge responsibility that we have to keep our husband's head focused in the right direction. But setting an example in the home. Are you the same in the house as you are outside of the house? Or did you just put on a front when you go out? You know, we should be genuine people. We should be the kind of people that what you see is what you get. You know, it's too hard to put on a pretense and act like you're something you're not. Just be you. We will love you for just being you. But children are really smart to that. They catch on to that real quick. And that is not God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? We are the ones that change because our soul is changing. We do change, but we should just be who we are and let God change us right where we're at. You know, if you're struggling with something, you don't have to hide. You don't have to hide from God. And God will give you people to talk to who will keep your problem in confidence and not judge you for that. But we're here to help. Amen? We're here to add value. I like this Proverbs 31:16. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. Women often have a sense of timing in a relationship to purchase things. And I remember Leonard was gone on a fishing trip, and we had been house hunting, and We found a house out in Jimtown that absolutely fit all of our checklist. And he's gone, and I'm negotiating this real estate deal with this person. And so that I was in a position that I hadn't been in before. We have bought and sold houses. That's how we made good profits doing that. And that's how we ended up being able to pay cash for houses and to live debt-free. But I was in a situation, and he was up in Canada, and sometimes I could get a hold of him, and sometimes I couldn't. So I had to trust the wisdom and the leading of the Lord, but we knew it was God's timing, and we knew it was God's heart for us to get this house. So sometimes there is a sense, the man is the head of the house, but he doesn't have to do everything, right? We partner together. And we grow together, we make decisions together, and sometimes the woman will take the lead. And this, obviously, this woman in Proverbs 31, she had all kinds of business stuff going on. Amen? Shouldn't make you nervous. It should make you thankful. Make us thankful. God created man and woman, and he told them to take dominion. And so we work together to take dominion, to bring God's will to pass for our families. Amen? All right. I'll go off of that because I can tell somebody's really nervous in here about that. E is also for edifier. She builds up her children. She gives them confidence as she encourages them in every endeavor of life. This reminded me of a story that one of our professors told us about a minister who had four sons. And he and his wife and sons were sitting in the living room one day, and they were all excellent preachers, he and his sons. They were well known for their preaching abilities, and a person came into that family situation and said to the oldest son, he thought he'd put him on task, you know, in front of his dad and ask him, who's the best preacher among you? And the son looked at his dad because he loved his dad and he loved his dad's teaching. But without hesitation, he turned and he said, my mother. Mamas know how to preach, amen? And that reminded me of the Apostle Paul when he was talking to Timothy. Timothy was his spiritual son. And he was encouraging Timothy because he said, you have the faith of your grandma Eunice, and the faith of your mom, which was imparted to you. So grandmas, moms, we impart to children faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We add to them. There is a foundation that no one else can put in those children. And if we don't do our job, well, God will send somebody else along to help them. But the intent is for moms to do that. And for dads, of course, to teach their children. But Timothy received something from grandma and mom. And the Apostle Paul made that very clear. You see, the Apostle Paul was not against women preaching, teaching, prophesying, and leading in churches. And one of these days, we're just going to break it down. Because in our culture, there seems to be a resistance to women leading in churches. And that is not God's will or intent or the model that we see in the New Testament. That was the truth in the Old Testament. That was the way it was. But in the New Testament, it is a new covenant. And there is neither male nor female. There is neither Jew nor Greek. It doesn't matter what your nationality is, your ethnicity is. God has called all of us to work alongside, and he has given gifts and abilities and talents to each one of us. And so it isn't this male or female thing. That was in the Old Testament. And you know what? When we get to heaven, there is no male nor female. And so God wants to renew our minds in that area, but we're going to go on because, once again, I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable today. R is for restrictor. Moms can be restrictors, right? Do you remember going to your mom and asking her if you could do something and you just hit the wall? She set that boundary and mom wasn't going to move. Did anybody here keep trying? Yeah. Yeah, see, that's children's jobs. Just keep asking. Keep trying. Keep pushing. Keep trying to get her to move that line. They're restorers. They know how to restore. And she's a place of refuge. She's someone you can turn to and talk to. And she is a reflection of Christ. Proverbs 31:25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. And she laughs with no fear of the future. We don't have to fear the future. Come on. We have a God that holds the future. Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So there's no better picture to depict the love of Christ for each one of us than the love of a mother for her children. She's willing to lay down her life for her kids. Do we have any moms in here this morning? You'd give your life. My mom always said that. I'd give my life for you. I wish you didn't have to go through this. I'd go through it for you. You know, that's the love of a mother. And that is the love of Jesus Christ for us. He said, I'll take care of your sins on the cross. I'll go to the cross. I'll give my life for you. Because you are valuable, and I love you, and I'm laying down my life. The scripture says that he loved the church so much that he gave his life for the church. There was a birthing forth of the church into the earth when Jesus Christ gave his life. Yes, each one of us received our salvation. That's how we come into the church. Our moms give us a natural birth. Jesus, we're born again by the Spirit of the living God. And man doesn't have anything to do with that. That's by the will of God, the scripture says. By the will of God, you can be born again. You know, Nicodemus, there's a story about Jesus talking to a man named Nicodemus. And he was telling him, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus, he was a grown man and he was so confused by what Jesus was saying to him. He's like, how am I going to crawl back into my mom's womb and be born again? He like really had that guy messed up. But we're born again by the Spirit of God. Born again by the water and the Spirit. And we can enter the kingdom of God. So being a mom is one of the most important occupations on this earth. And God loves you. And when we seek him first, we're able to balance all of this out. He's the only one that can keep us in balance. He's got to be at the center of our thoughts, our meditation, our decisions. Whether you're a mom or not, you need Jesus at the center of your life. A bishop from Kenya, Nimbi is his name. He said these words. He said, train a man and you train an individual. Train a woman, you build a nation. And this is where the saying comes from, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. We have an amazing responsibility. And as the church, we have a responsibility to help teach, train, equip, and raise up children in the ways of the Lord. We're here to wrap around parents and help them, support them, and what they are doing in their home life. If we have strong families, we will have a strong church. If we have strong families, we'll have a strong community. If we have strong families, we'll have a strong nation. So let's be those people who build strong families, help people become stronger and more confident in themselves so they can be confident in their relationships so they can lead well. We are the leaders. We are the leaders of this nation. God is depending upon each one of us. In Philippians 4:13, in closing, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We say that a lot, don't we, ladies? I'm sure everybody here says that a lot. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can clean up one more mess. Mothers, thank you for all that you do and all that you've done. And we celebrate you today. This is your special day. So let's thank the Lord for all of our moms. And after we receive the offering this morning, we have all these beautiful flowers to give out. So let's close in prayer with our message today. Lord, we thank you for your presence today and for the word that's gone forward. I pray, God, you continue to encourage each person here and draw them closer to you and make us more like you, Jesus. Make us more like you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.